Innovation meets the law.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and Live Nation, presenting Ray LaMontagne on his Just Passing Through acoustic tour. Ray LaMontagne performs at the Mahaffey Theater Sunday, November 11th. More at Ticketmaster.com. Good afternoon. Good rainy afternoon if you are anywhere around my house. You're listening to WMNF 88.5 FM Community Radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session, your forum for the discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. I'm John Gilmore, joined in the studio this afternoon by Mr. Adam Baxt. Good afternoon, Adam.
Good afternoon.
And Mr. Baxt will be doing his deadline level best to keep us somewhere between the guardrails here, and we are sorry. And let's see here. We could. You want to remind you that we're here each Monday through Thursday at this time, and that in the conversation we welcome all viewpoints, and we require civility, because basically what we're up to here is testing a proposition that the country is going to do better if, instead of screaming at each other across the street, we talk with each other over the back fence. And you can join the conversation at 813-239-9600. And that will put you in contact with Mr. Victor Gomez this afternoon, who will get you ready to step out onto the floor and have your say. You can reach the studio at dj@wmnf.org by email, by text at 813-433-0885. And be sure and search for Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page. We just went over 500 people following the page, and we're just going to see if we can hit 1,000 sometime in the next little while here, just for fun. Now, as we do on Wednesdays, we are going to open the session this afternoon with an episode of Everyday Ethics. And this is about as far as we could possibly get from the conversation we've been having in the last few days. It's a break. We're going to turn, get a little bit of fresh air so that we can get a little bit of different perspective and then turn back. Unless you are very, very committed to continuing the conversation that we've been having, in which case, knock yourself out. You've seen them, by the way. You've seen them at work. You've seen them at parties. Sometimes you see them on the Jumbotron, or even out on the field. You've seen them in hot air balloons. Someone takes a knee and proposes marriage. Marriage proposals. How did you propose? How did he or she propose to you? So we're going to open this session today with an everyday ethics discussion of marriage proposals.
Hi, Andrea. How are you? I mean, you were the first person up. Who are you here with? Who's this?
My boyfriend, Joshua.
Hi, Joshua. Stand up. Hi, Joshua. Nice to meet you.
Hey,
I should hug you, probably. All right. Joshua, how long have y'all been together?
4 years.
4 years?
4 years in February.
That's a long time, right?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. What? Baby, today has been amazing. This has been one of the coolest days of our lives, and I would just want to fill the rest of our lives with more cool days like this. I love you so much. Will you marry me?
Everyday Ethics is a production of WMNF Tampa in conjunction with the Poynter Institute. Poynter, a global leader in journalism. Additional support is provided by NYU Langone Medical Center, one of the nation's premier academic medical centers devoted to patient care, education, and research.
Hi, I'm Craig Kopp, and this is Everyday Ethics. And as you may have figured out, we are going to be talking about marriage proposals and why that's still a thing. But first, a little bit of explanation. I'm in the studios of WMNF Tampa. I am joined by media ethicist Kelly McBride. She's at the Poynter Institute across the bay from me in St. Petersburg. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, I will admit I once coerced a man into proposing to me. It was the worst idea I ever had.
bad. Now, if anybody gets down on a knee, I'm probably going to punch him in the face.
So we start there, but we better bring Art Kaplan. He's a medical ethicist at NYU's Langone Medical Center, coming to us from Connecticut. Hello, Art.
Hey, I'm still getting flack, I don't know, 30 years later for not being romantic enough.
What was your proposal like?
I was like sitting at a restaurant and just saying, you know, we've been together for 2 years. I think it's time for us to get married. What do you think? I thought it was pretty nice.
Did you have a ring?
No. I wasn't on a knee, and I didn't grovel around and all that sort of stuff. It was just a question.
And was the answer yes, or was it more of a conversation?
She didn't say, why don't you get down on a knee and try that again. No, it was a conversation. It was okay. I thought it was fine, although it's come up later when she sees other proposals, I guess, in the interim, that wasn't the most romantic way to do it.
And your wife is a modern woman. She runs a freaking hospital, right?
She's a CEO of a hospital, highly professional woman, but I don't know, grew up in a time and surrounded by certain ideas about how you do marriage proposals.
Why can we not get rid of this?
Why don't we lay out the issues here about what is wrong with this, as you put it, this antiquated concept of marriage proposals? It's awfully, I guess, male dominated. He makes the decision to ask you, the female, to join in happily wedded matrimony. Is that problem one?
I don't know of any females proposing to males.
It's incredibly rare.
Sense, mm-hmm. On the down on one knee kind of thing.
So there's that.
Hands down, probably the most important decision you're going to make as an adult is who you marry. It seems to me like you would want to do it with a little bit of mutuality, some equality, some conversations about what kind of marriage do we want. I mean, I know more people who say yes and then have to back out of proposals because they put the cart before the horse here, right?
They were peer pressured.
First, you should have the conversation about what kind of marriage you want, and then you should decide if you two are going to get married, as opposed to, let's get married, and then we do the marriage prep.
Now, are we making an assumption here that all these show proposals that we see on our Facebook feed and hear about didn't have that conversation before that moment?
I think the TV shows that have made an art form out of proposals, you know, they're escalating what's happening with special lighting and flowers are appearing and angels are singing in the background and that sort of thing. I'm presuming those weren't preceded by intense discussion.
In not reality television, we can't assume that conversation hasn't happened before these show moments.
Well, you're talking about the public proposal, right?
Yeah, where, right. Yeah.
Well, we know at the baseball stadium when the guy proposes and the woman runs away or says no. That
one did not have the conversation. You're correct. Yeah.
Good for her, right? So first of all, proposals in general, I think, are unequal because they don't acknowledge that two people are making a decision. The second thing is that public proposals are really unequal because they put all this pressure. And you got to admit that, like, most of these are done for the Instagram post, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, anyway, yeah.
I agree with you with the public. I think that's a bad aspect of deciding to get married, making it into a display or just because you want to get the right pictures or you want to impress your buddies or, I don't know, something. It seems to me that coerces.
Kelly, how do you explain, say, Art's wife's feelings about the underwhelming proposal from Art 30 years ago, still kind of rankling around there? Why do you think women still seem to be as into it as they are, or is that all hype?
Man, I think that we have been socialized to feel like we are not worthy if a man is not fawning all over us. I think that there is this deep insecurity that we're not attractive enough, that we're not hot enough, that you want a man to be tripping over himself to demonstrate his love for you. And I do think that two people who are in love with each other should demonstrate their love to each other. I'm not against romance. I just want the romance to be genuine instead of staged, and I want it to be mutual instead of one-sided.
What do you think of engagement rings?
Again, I feel like guys are getting the raw end of the deal on that. They're supposed to spend, what, 1 week's salary on an engagement ring? And the woman is like, yeah, thank you.
If it doesn't go through, can you get it back?
The courts have said no, that an engagement ring is a gift, right?
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of things in this world that are unequal to women, right? Like just in the marketplace, we pay more for haircuts, we pay more to have our clothing dry cleaned. There's all sorts of things in the economy that give women the short shrift, but this is one place where men get a raw deal.
Unless it doesn't work out, then.
Well, or unless you're smart and you get a prenup and a pre-engagement and you get some sort of legal agreement that, like, if this doesn't work out, you give the engagement ring back.
I'm glad you went there because I want to say something about these ceremonies and so on. So not all ceremonies are bad. I mean, a lot of us have all kinds of ceremonies, you know, we do at holidays or family traditions, or there are things where religions have, you know, confirmation and bar mitzvahs. And I mean, ceremony is a big part of lives of many people. They like them. You may say that Hollywood set the standard for what a marriage proposal looks like, but one reason I think people blanch at the conversation model that Kelly's talking about, which I'm not opposed to, I did it, but it may be also that, like a prenup, it seems to be too affectless, too emotion-free. It's like a negotiation or a bartering or a business deal, maybe. I mean, I never liked prenups. They always seem to me, if you had to do that, then maybe you weren't in the right relationship to begin with or something.
Oh, my God. But it is a business deal. Anybody who's gotten divorced will tell you. Uh-huh. Yes, it is a partnership, and it is more than a business deal, but it is also a business deal.
What I'm saying is I think the marriage proposal thing, people don't want to think business. They don't want to think the economics. I mean, maybe they should. And, you know, as you're saying, the history of what happens in a divorce makes you think, yeah, I should have been thinking about that right from the get-go. But it seems inconsistent with the romance of it all.
But the romance, in terms of an engagement, was generated by the diamond industry.
And also, I mean, think about this, right? So the way it happens most of the time is the guy proposes, which means he has to take the initiative and signal, you know, make himself vulnerable to a no rather than having a conversation. If he's following convention, lay out money for an engagement ring. And then for the wedding, the woman has to do all of the work, right? And her father technically is supposed to pay for it, but that has fallen away, right? Most couples pay for their own weddings now.
Do they? I don't know.
Because they're in the $20,000 to $30,000 range for average.
Well, that's median, actually. I read this fascinating article on weddings, and it's another place where social media and media in general have created this expectation that's unrealistic. The average person spends, I think it's around $15,000 on a wedding, but those high-end $35,000 weddings are even skewing that.
Sounds like the funeral industry.
Exactly. It's very similar, only there's no cake.
Well, until you go to the wake. I just don't see the ceremony of it going away. Again, I think most people who end up getting engaged and they don't do it very publicly on a camera with a friend at the restaurant, you know, live streaming it on Facebook or whatever it is, the ring box is opened and, you know, let's make this official. The conversation about what kind of marriage we're going to have, how many kids we're going to have, how we're going to do this has already been held. I don't even hear the conversation much except in newspaper articles about this being an antiquated thing.
Well, let's just imagine how it could be different if it wasn't antiquated. If you have two people and you are deciding to get married, you would have conversations and you would get to the point where, in a mutual way, you'd be like, yeah, that's a good idea. We should get married. Then you could go out and buy rings together and have some sort of celebration or exchange of rings. You know, you can do your cute little announcement on Instagram, and you could do that differently where it's together, right? Where it's like, surprise, we're getting married, rather than she said yes.
That actually makes perfect sense.
Okay, so that's the first step. And then the second step is you can share in the planning of the wedding.
Oh, God, no. Does that have to happen?
Yeah. Well, I'll do the sampling at the caterer, but after that.
Exactly. That's the only thing the guy shows up for is the cake sampling. But you could share in the actual planning and labor of the wedding. The best way to do that is to just scale down all that stuff that you've got to do. And then the next thing you need to do is maybe talk to a financial advisor about the financial commitment that you're about to make and what some of your expectations are around money and what your expectations would be if this relationship ended.
Where we're going here, this, let's make it more mutual, let's make it more collaborative, let's take the sort of power element out of it, man asking, woman must respond kind of thing. I get it, I hear it, I'm for it, I'm not against moving in that direction. But I know there are going to be listeners out there saying, you're going to take the fun out of all this thing. We had a ceremony. It's corny. It's dated. We know that. But, you know, it's kind of continuing a tradition, the down on one knee and the surprise on the woman's face and the ring comes out. Do we have to kill every tradition?
So, you know where I think we might take some cues from is gay couples. They often have proposals, but it seems more, I don't know, for some reason, they figured out a power dynamic that isn't as tied up in gender, obviously, and they still manage to have some romance. Oftentimes, one person is more romantic than the other. I wonder if we did a survey of, say, 100 gay couples and how they came to decide to be married. You would find that some of them, there was a true proposal, there was a ring, someone was down on one knee. But you would also find a lot more variety. I want to do that magazine piece.
Have you seen the Vegas commercial?
No.
Two gay women in Vegas. One says, let's get married. We're in Vegas. No, we can't. You know, my parents would just kill me if we just went and got married. There's a wedding. Let's go look. Come on, let's get married. She says, well, I'm going to call my parents. And she calls it, and the phone rings in the crowd, and her parents stand up, turn around, and they get married.
Aw, that's really cute.
But it's very similar to
Although, right? So I always have different standards, right? It's always cuter when it's a gay couple.
Yeah. There you go. It's the same damn thing.
It is, because what if she was like, oh, I'm really not ready, and now my parents are here.
So I got
That is a lot of pressure.
I'm going on record. I still think Kelly's move toward the mutual and the dialogue is better, but I get that some people are going to want the old-fashioned way, even if it's rooted in, you know, sexism or advertising or industry promotion or Hollywood or something. I'm not quite ready to say, don't do it that way or that's the wrong way. I'm willing to say, think about it, but I'm not sure I'm ready to, send the poor schnook with his ring and his crouch back to the bench.
Okay, let me put some guardrails on this. First of all, public proposals.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
Manipulative.
Yeah, yep.
Power imbalance. Mm-hmm. Unfair.
By the way, you also dragged the entire baseball stadium into your personal affairs. Who wants that?
Well, I mean, the spectacle of it depends on how good the game is, I guess. If you are thinking about proposing, what if you proposed this way? What if you bought a ring and you said something like, I love you. I really want to marry you. You don't have to answer me right now, but just know that I am here. My heart is out, and I want you to know how much I love you, and I would love it if you would marry me, but you don't have to give me an answer right now.
I'll respond by registered mail in 30 days.
I'll have my attorney contact you. No. That's fine.
Is that okay? Yeah. Is that better than, like, will you marry me?
I don't know. It sort of depends on the people.
As long as the conversation should be over about whether or not you're getting married.
You know, it's one of those don't ask a question you don't know the answer to kind of things.
But how do you know the answer if you haven't already had the conversation?
Oh, that's what we're saying. We agree. agree with you.
Yeah,
we agree. Okay. Conversation. Then you could do the corny ceremony if you
so
want.
So make sure you know the answer is going
to
be yes.
Yes, absolutely. You've already decided to get married. You know, we'll start making plans and you lay some surprise, you know, with the ringy thingy and you get it done. But you got to know the answer before you do the thing.
All right.
So make sure you have that conversation in a closet away from all sorts of people, no public pressure. And record it just for your preview.
And make sure the lighting's right because, you know, Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
for Kelly,
exactly.
For Kelly McBride and Art Kaplan, I'm Craig Kopp. And this is Everyday Ethics, knowing the difference between what you have a right to do and what is right to do. Everyday Ethics is produced, edited, and engineered by Dustin Hapley. Our researcher is
Christina Sokarenku, who brought us all the great research on this particular episode.
In May.
Everyday Ethics here this afternoon on WMNF 88.5 in Tampa. Marriage proposals. Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were.
Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. We need no welfare state.
Everybody pulls his weight.
G.R.O. was sour and great. Those were the days.
And we are in session. We are, in fact, in executive session here on WMNF 88.5 FM in Tampa. In the studio here with me is Adam Baxt. Good afternoon, Adam.
Good afternoon.
And we are, and when you call 813-239-9663 to reach the conversation this afternoon, you will be in contact with Mr. Victor Gomez, who will take your first name, where you're calling from, maybe a word or two about what you're interested in saying, and get you ready to step into the conversation. We're going to take just a couple of calls here, and then we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to go and we're going to talk to Lynette. Lynette, good afternoon. You're in executive session on WMNF.
Good afternoon, John. Good afternoon, Alex, is it?
Adam.
Adam. Adam, congratulations on being at the center of the universe here.
Thank you. Thank you.
I am calling in to vent about a pet peeve.
Okay.
They have been saying on the news, oh, we have to subpoena the interpreters. Oh, excuse me. No. What they've been saying is we have to subpoena the translators from Trump and Putin's meeting so that we know what went on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first I'd like to say that there were no translators in that room.
Okay.
There were interpreters.
Okay.
Interpreters interpret conversations. I know, I am one.
Okay.
Okay.
What is your what do you interpret from and to?
From English to Spanish.
Cool, thank you.
So, translators translate the written word.
There you go.
So that's the first thing I'd like to say.
Okay.
And the second thing is that the fact that they would even discuss subpoenaing interpreters means that they don't know how interpreters work.
Uh-huh.
Because most interpreters, they really wouldn't be able to be a reliable witness in a courtroom. They don't listen the way, say, a stenographer would for content.
Yeah.
And the notes that they were taking do not look like the notes of a stenographer. They would say things like maybe double negative CNT WNT for the double negative. If the president had said, I can't see why they wouldn't.
Uh-huh.
they would have written that down.
Yeah.
If the president said, I can't see why they would, they probably wouldn't have even written it down.
Uh-huh.
Because they're very busy interpreting
yeah.
from one language to the other.
So basically their
brain space.
Their awareness is not on the policy issues or the content. They are focused on the mechanics of the language and accurately moving ideas from one language to another.
Exactly.
I see. Well, that's very interesting. And you know what, Lynette? I'd still like to hear them. I would love to hear under oath, I would love to hear anybody that was in that room with those two guys.
I posted this on a bunch of my interpreter and translator sites, and everyone agreed. The only thing you'd get out of an interpreter in a courtroom with a subpoena is, gee, I don't remember. I don't know. You know, because it's like if you ever had a typist in a typing pool, right? Remember when people used to dictate their correspondence?
Yeah,
and you'd
listen
to the dictaphone and you'd type it out?
Yeah.
If you asked one of those typists what she typed that day, she wouldn't know.
I see.
It goes in one ear and out the mouth and in the other ear and out the mouth. It doesn't pass through the processing.
All right, Lynette, that's very interesting, and it's a viewpoint that I haven't heard before, and I appreciate you bringing it, and we will almost inevitably talk again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure thing. Bye.
All right, and we're going to take a quick break away from the conversation that just started, and then we're going to come back and get right back to it. Support for WMNF comes from our members in Goodwill Industries, Suncoast, committed to helping people achieve their full potential through employment services, training, and affordable housing. The sale of donated items at Goodwill stores supports services to people locally and contributes to community conservation. More at goodwill-suncoast.org.
WMNF hosts its first celebration of homegrown heroes Sunday, August 19th at the Gulfport Casino, and you can join the celebration. WMNF is honoring Tampa Bay individuals and organizations who are sowing the seeds of equality and peace and promoting social, economic, and environmental justice. Your organization can sponsor a table for eight for $300. Individual tickets are $35 in advance, $40 at the door. Details are at WMNF.org. Join WMNF for live entertainment, local food, a silent auction, and a celebration of homegrown heroes. Sunday afternoon, August 19th from 2 to 6 at the Gulfport Casino.
Support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus. Since 1985, Happy Feet Plus has been providing healthy footwear solutions, including brands such as Birkenstock, Finn Comfort, and Kenko Massage Sandals. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com. And here on Executive Session on WMNF 88.5 FM Tampa, we are back to a conversation that started out with an episode of Everyday Ethics that was centered around marriage proposals, and that's a perfectly acceptable conversational topic. And we also had someone who called in, Lynette called in, and gave us some very, very interesting information about the terminology that's being used in the search for information about what happened in the room between the president and Mr. Putin over in Helsinki, and the difference between a translator.
and an interpreter.
Yeah, there you go. And that was Adam Baxton. He's in here helping us keep this thing on the road. And when you call in, you're going to reach Mr. Victor Gomez. And right now, we're going to talk to Daryl. Daryl, good afternoon. You're in executive session.
Good afternoon, John.
Oh, Daryl, you got a good buzz on this afternoon.
Yes, I do. And I believe your studio guest is called Adam.
Yes.
Adam, welcome, welcome.
Hello, Daryl.
Let me first by saying, I know my time is short, but I must address Lynette. Lynette, tisk, tisk, tisk. Today is not the subject about the inane, wild, crazy mind of President 45.
But God, that was my responsibility, Daryl. I opened up the door for that.
Yes, I know, but that's why I'm here to help to slam it shut.
Okay,
we were talking about wedding proposals.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Back at the ranch. Wedding proposals. If I can lend my vast but short knowledge on the subject. Let me just say, first we need to set the mood. With a little music about love. Now, Lynette, I'm old-fashioned. I don't believe in these modern-day vows about, you are the sun that rises over the horizon that brings joy to my day. I'm old-fashioned.
Daryl, you need to come down here and get a program, man.
Come on. This will be for the other callers. I promise I'll be short. Would you, Lynette, if I may borrow you for a second, Lynette, would you take Donald John Trump to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold, for better or for worse, for sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, till death do you us part? That's what we want. I'm old-fashioned. Those vows, they stand for something. This is not, I want to shack with you. Would you be my girlfriend? Let's just kick it. I know I'm from the 60s, but those vows, they stand for something. Come on, we want, I know we're taking a chance. I'm going in my 401k, and I'm getting that diamond chip. Because I can't afford a stone. Come on, that don't mean I'm cheap. I'm doing the best I can.
Right, you got to bring what you got.
I'm jumping the broom. Whatever.
All right, Daryl.
Get the little chip, okay? And I do believe in prenups because we got some people, it's like, come on, I'm putting my best foot forward here. I'm not letting you see my crazy side when I get upset and all other stuff, leaving my clothes on the floor and all that kind of crazy stuff. And you might want to divorce me and leave me. And then the laws are such that the young lady on Everyday Ethics is right. It's geared towards women. You might want to take me for half of everything I got. So I got to have something to protect myself. But I believe in old-fashioned value.
Good,
John.
All right, Daryl. You're going to get a good old-fashioned prenup.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Hey, 813-239-WMNF is the, that's what those letters are. They're 239-9663. You're listening to 88.5 FM in Tampa. We're going to go and we're going to talk to Bob in Tampa. Bob, good afternoon and welcome to Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, good change of subject. especially, my wife passed away 5 years ago, but it's kind of like her birthday right around now. And I was always pretty romantic, but the way I proposed was definitely not. I don't know that we talked about it first, but, everything was there for, things we were saying and the I love yous and all that. But, and it was an interracial relationship.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm white, she's black, and her parents, her dad wasn't hip on me and two of her brothers. But other than that.
Her dad and two of her brothers?
Brothers were not.
You were swimming upstream there, my friend.
Yeah, I got it from the other side. So I think, my parents, I don't know. They didn't bother them. I'm sure that, they took a, based on, my dating history, were probably, but she was a, she worked in the mental health field. She's a very skilled person. And anyways, we were walking down the aisle. We didn't live together, but we spent just about every day and night together. But we were walking down the grocery aisle, and, I've been thinking about it, and and she said something about she had it at her house or something like that. And then I just grabbed her by her waist and I said, "You gotta marry me." And she said, "Like what?" I said, "You gotta marry me."
We're talking about oatmeal here.
Yeah. She probably had oatmeal in her hand, and then she just goes, she goes, "All right." And she started walking down the aisle again, and I heard her mutter under her breath, "Crazy, crazy." Oh, wrong with you. She's muttering under her breath. Then she gave me a hug later, next aisle. But, you know, I think it was cugged. But you know what? I agree. You need to protect yourself. But it does take... I could have found a more romantic way, and that would have been good. But you know what? If you know it's right. But, you know, I don't ever believe in, like, people who do it publicly, because that's a big thing to put out there. And you're almost putting them in a point where, if I say no, I'm going to kill this guy, you know?
Yeah.
You know, or vice versa. And that's like putting someone on the spot.
Yeah, it is. I know. I worked with a lady once whose husband proposed to her in front of his entire shift at the fire station.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, you know, what's she going to say?
You know, it's a yes. Like if she was begging you to ask her or something, you know, you're going to ask me or something like that. But, you know, we never worried about three, you know, we both made money and, you know, she used to joke, you know, to take you for everything you got. And I used to always say, "You are everything I got."
You're it.
Couldn't say nothing to that. Yeah. Couldn't say nothing to that. But anyways, and getting married, all that money, you know, I didn't even have a ring when I asked her either. I hadn't even gotten that. And I said, "Yeah, I don't have a ring. Don't ask for it." I just told her, right. I said, "Oh, and there's no ring yet. We have to get one." But she didn't want to spend a lot of money on that. And we were going to start planning a wedding, but we were walking someplace in upstate Connecticut, and there was a place, a little Justice of the Peace. I said, we had the license, and I said, "Let's go do it now." He said, "All right."
Well, you guys were kind of a spur of the moment item, weren't you?
Well,
that's interesting. You know, I know it's great.
We had a good relationship though, and it was the best thing I ever did. But but like I said, it doesn't. You know, I'm not against. Like I think the romance and all is great. You know, because you know, but it is on the guy. She was so right. You know, it's we got to put everything out there, and that's a heck of a. You know, I've heard of some people getting pretty crushed.
Yeah. But, all right, Bob, listen, we're going to go and talk to some other folks, and I appreciate you bringing that in. It's a very interesting story, and we'll talk again. Sure enough. 813-239-9663, 813-239-WMNF. Get you in contact with Mr. Gomez back there, and then we'll proceed from there. Let's see, we're going to talk to Thomas. Thomas in St. Pete, your patience is exemplary. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air, and you're on with Adam and I on WMNF.
Well, thanks to the two of you fellows out there. That was probably the greatest call I've ever heard Daryl do in my life. That was boom! Ever. Like, the buzz. What's the buzz? It's the freaking phonograph. The guy's killing it. But I just wanted to admit, I'm, like, lost on that still. But I guess I just want to say that, like, with marriage and what we're talking about and what the woman said, too, about gender. So you can't say it's on the guy, right? I think it's on the initiation of an idea.
Hmm. Yeah, there are differences, and maybe that's one of them. There are differences between opposite and same gender marriages, and maybe that's one of them because traditionally it has been the guy, you know.
But maybe that's just an instinctual element that exists in that moment between two individual beings.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So like, what you're springing on to is that you have this dynamic relationship with two hopefully conscious spirits. And what that means is like, what we have to do, really, right, is, like, what was the whole idea? We said everyday ethics, right? So, like, ethics are moral principles.
Yeah.
Like, morals are what's right and wrong. And, like, how does one person in the information age even know what's right, wrong, north, south? People don't even know anything. It's seven-second mind frames. Like, you made a joke about Instagram. And that's where, like, all comes into this whole nature about, like, what is right, what is wrong, this and that. No one knows anymore. I mean, basically, our ethics are controlled by probably people like Google, but
that's an interesting point. That's an interesting thought. See, I come from way, way, way back, and so I was I was hammered out long before any of this indecisiveness and difficulty came up. You know, not that I want to say right. I'm rigid or anything like that.
No, I agree, and that's a beautiful thing, but we have to talk about every day. Today's the day, old day, new day. So just me as a person, I just think this whole thing, that first caller too, about like what's going on in this world of, you know, whatever, talking about ethics. But yeah, man, I just think that when it comes to, if anyone's out there listening, obviously an individual, you want to learn how to have a good marriage, learn to love yourself. People go around this world worried about like how many likes I have on Instagram. You want to be in a happy marriage, how about you just like yourself and then trust yourself enough to just go for something that's bigger. Daryl was right with the legacy thing. Legacy, that's good too. Like whatever your parents tell you to do, if they did that, follow that idea. You know what I mean? Like roots of civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just where it's at.
Yeah, Adam and I were having a very interesting conversation a little while ago about the traditional marriage, unquote, that was harkened back to so very much in the debate on marriage equality in the last little while. And we were discussing just exactly what traditional marriage was, that it was a highly cultural and even geographic notion, and that changed so dramatically through time that you have to actually say traditional marriage as it was comprised in England in the Middle Ages, if you want to be that kind of specific.
Hot and sticky.
Yeah. All right, Thomas, thank you very much, and we will talk again. Sure enough. All right, there we are on WMNF 88.5 FM. You are listening to Executive Session, and we are going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and finish this conversation. Mike and Zach, we see you there, and we'll be right back to you. Mick Jagger, the greatest frontman ever, is turning 75, and WMNF is celebrating by hosting Pleased to Meet You, the 75th birthday tribute to Mick Jagger. For this tribute to rock and roll's greatest band leader, we sought an all-star cast of bands who excel in tribute shows. The party begins at 7 and goes till midnight at Janice Live on July 27th. For more information as well as the complete band lineup, go to WMNF.org. Show WMNF some summer love by donating your unwanted car to support the station you listen to every day. We'll pick up your vehicle for free at a time that's convenient for you. And less stress and one less vehicle equals a lot more time and room in your garage. Visit WMNF.org to fill out an online donation form or call 1-888-966-3885 to speak with a representative today. We'll walk you through the process every step of the way. Thank you.
Hi, this is Larnell Scott with a WMNF community announcement. Superheroes are fun to watch at the movies. However, there are almost 1,000 abused and neglected children in Pasco and Pinellas counties waiting for real-life superheroes to volunteer as guardians ad litem and become their voices. These precious children need volunteers to help them find safe, permanent homes. Guardian ad litem volunteers become superheroes to our community's children. You may learn more at herotoachild.org.
And back to the conversation here in Executive Session on WMNF 88.5. This is Community Radio from West Central Florida, and we're going to go and talk to Zach in Riverview. Zach, good afternoon. You're in Executive Session. You have the floor.
Oh, good afternoon. Quick little story. I was at a...
I've heard that one before.
I was at a very small rodeo in Olive Branch, Mississippi years ago, and there was a young couple sitting next to me, and towards the middle of the show, all of a sudden, the young man is in the middle of the rodeo grounds with a microphone proposing to the girl that is sitting next to me. She started bawling and ducked, crawled through the bleachers, and ran out the building.
I guess, and he's out there going, is this a no?
Wow. Yeah, everyone was like, he was kind of looking over in my direction, and I was just kind of giving him the, I don't know.
I didn't have anything to do with that sport.
So, word of caution there, yeah. Another one. The whole proposing thing, it's kind of goofy, and it could actually be a little outdated, but whoever is doing the proposing needs to realize that the one being proposed to is going to remind them the rest of their lives whether or not that proposal was up to par. So, you might as well do a good job of it.
Yeah, might as well go for it.
Yeah, and then third thing, regarding what Lynette said, that was very, very good.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah, very interesting. I'm a mailman, and I totally agree with her. If someone asks me, you know, what was on their letter, or what kind of mail they got that day, I have no idea.
Yeah.
However, I'm pretty sure if you made me deliver President Trump's mail or Putin's mail today, I could probably tell you every single piece of mail they got.
You might notice some specifics about that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, listen, thanks, Zach. We'll talk again.
All right,
that's Zach on WMNF. We are in executive session here this afternoon. Adam Baxton and I are in the studio. Victor Gomez handling your phone calls, so you get to talk to him when you call in. And we are talking about an everyday ethics that we led off the session with this afternoon about marriage proposals. And we have had some very informative conversation about translators. Yeah, and interpreters, and the difference there between. Is that grammatical?
I believe so.
I can't tell. Mike in Sydney, good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon on WMNF.
Good afternoon, guys. A little interesting story about my marriage and all of that. The wife and I have lived together for 5 years, got pregnant, had a boy. Got in a little trouble for some herb,
mm-hmm.
and wound up in front of Judge Harry Lee Coe. He said, you can't cohabitate in this state of Florida. It's illegal, so you can't break any laws while you're in trouble. So you either got to get married or live apart.
I see.
So, it kind of...
Harry was a very interesting guy.
That's another story or show.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I just thought, to me, that was... So, I decided to share.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That certainly is content that I'd never heard before, and I certainly never heard a judge say that before. So,
All right,
thanks. Well, you take care of yourself out there in Sydney, and we'll talk again.
Roger.
Sure enough. 813-239-WMNF. You're in executive session this afternoon. Adam Baxton and I and Mr. Gomez, and we're talking about marriage proposals. I proposed at the wedding. Teresa, good afternoon. you're in executive session.
Is it me, Teresa?
It is you, Teresa.
My husband and I lived together for 6 years, and we had what they like to call the five-year plan. he was like, you know, in 5 years, if we, you know, everything's going good, we'll decide. I'm like, okay.
Oh.
I didn't want kids, so we weren't going to have children. He already had three sons, one from a previous marriage and one from a girlfriend. So I'm like, I don't want kids, so there was like no big hurry.
Yeah.
And we were older. I was 36 and he was 41.
Mm-hmm.
And so we lived together, and then he just said, after, you know, on our 6th year, he goes, let's get married. I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that we did is we planned our wedding together. We did everything together. He picked out the cake. We went and got the invitations together. He did all the music. He used to be a DJ up in Connecticut. He did it. Him and his friend did all the music.
Wow.
Our wedding cost us like $3,000. That was it.
Uh-huh.
We did everything ourselves, and a friend of mine made all my centerpieces and the boutonnieres for the man. And so
wow.
We didn't cost us much at all. We had a great time.
Yeah, but it sounds like
it. Married, so we've been married for 23 years now and together for 30.
Uh-huh.
We met in 88. So, yeah, I didn't want a wedding. I said, I don't want to do this. I just want to go get married. He's like, no, we have to have a wedding. I'm like, okay.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so we planned it all together. So, that was a little different, I think, from, you know,
yep.
That you don't hear much today that the guy helped. He even went and picked out the cake. He got the cake. He wanted a carrot cake, and that's what he got. And I said, perfect.
Well, there you go. It sounds like it worked out all right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worked out fine. We've been together for 30 years.
Well, there you go.
So good.
30 is a good start.
Yeah, 23 married, and we were together 7 years before we got married. So.
All right. Someone else's viewpoint, and I appreciate it very much, and we'll talk again. Sure enough.
Have a great day.
All right, here we are in executive session on WMNF 88.5 FM talking about marriage proposals and weddings and that general topic and like that. And now we're going to go and we're going to talk to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I got long stories to tell you. I've been married twice.
Uh-huh.
And I truthfully don't really remember proposals. The first one was years ago.
Uh-huh.
And this young man was about to be shipped away.
Uh-huh.
This was military, and mm-hmm. so we just decided to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And that we did. And then he went off to Newfoundland and was gone for several years. And during that time, I met another man. The second.
That's troublesome right there.
Was kind of getting rid of the first husband and being civil about this and the divorce and all that. And then it was a matter of deciding where we were going to live because he was coming back from the service and had to go off to college to complete his college.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided, well, we'll get married so I can go with you and live up there. And that's about what happened. Now, the first marriage was, well, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years. And certainly if we'd had any sense, we would have gone off for a wild weekend and said, that was fun. Goodbye.
That ought to do it.
Well, you know, people didn't just rush off and spend weekends at that time. This is eons ago.
Yeah, I suspect that they actually did, but I suspect that there wasn't very much conversation about
Mama
it at the time.
Mama would not have approved.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't think that was something that you would do right out there in the daylight.
No.
Yeah.
No. So it was dumb.
Yeah.
We should have. We really should have said, okay, this is all right, fine.
Go ahead.
Second marriage was 44 years until he died. So that was a successful one, I would say.
Yeah. And was that kind of more along the lines of tradition at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. We didn't have a big wedding. He was, like I say, coming back and getting back into college to complete his education. So we just went to the local Methodist church, and I believe, yes, it was his aunt who lived there in Gainesville at the time, and the church secretary were our witnesses, and got married right there,
mm-hmm.
got an apartment.
Yeah.
Completed his education and went back to Sebring, and he practiced law. That was the more traditional.
You went to Sebring?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's where we were both from, and that's where he went back to.
I see. And yeah, part of my family lived in Sebring for a while. So very,
really?
This was back in, like, I think the last time that any of my family was down there, I think, was sometime in the very, very late 50s or something.
It's
been a while. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was very nice because they had that lovely little quiet circle downtown, and they had the
Wasn't
little
that nice?
Yeah, it had a little Rexall. Remember the Rexall there?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure that the rest of the people out there in Radio Land are fascinated by our mutual sharing of the ancient history of Sebring, Florida. So,
I bet the Sebring still got that nice little circle too. I haven't been there in years.
I haven't either. Listen, it's been good to talk to you, and with any luck, we will talk again. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
All right, we are we're pretty much going to wrap it up this afternoon. We are we have taken a break from the amazing maelstrom that's going on around us here in the United States and basically across the world right now. And we're going to return to our more traditional subject matter tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure where we're going to go. We may actually just throw open the gates and let you bring in whatever it is that you've been hearing, because I am absolutely certain you have been hearing all kinds of stuff. And by tomorrow, there's no way of knowing what more you will have heard. So we're just going to... come back and see what Buckle Up Thursday brings, because you know, you got to find a stable chair and get your five-way restraints all snugged up. Stay tuned. You got Scott Elliott in the next studio. He's going to bring you, See, I just looked at somebody. I can't see that far. I can't see that far, and I think I've misidentified somebody, and you'd be surprised. Mandela. Oh, there you go. What did he say?
I don't know.
Anyway, welcome to live radio here at WMNF. And we are going to be back tomorrow. You are listening to Executive Session here on WMNF in Tampa. And that's going to be it for us this afternoon as we sign off. This, again, is WMNF Tampa.